Woof, woof.
Good morning. Welcome to the celebration of the feast day of Saint Francis, where we're going to bless all these animals. So we started off, you'll notice that the only reading that we did today was this beautiful creation story from the book of Genesis, where it describes how God created the earth, the world, the heavens, the sun, the moon, and the animals, and then finally, last, not necessarily best, us. On the sixth day, God created humankind in God's image, giving them dominion over the animals. So, dominion, we often think of dominion as somehow being power over the animals. And I think what's really evident here today is who's really in charge? These pets are such wonderful creatures. And, you know, I always overthink this stuff, you know. So last night I asked Flo, what is it about these pets? What is it that we love so much about these pets? What do they bring into our lives? And she said, they bring in companionship and unconditional love and just acceptance of us just as we are, all of our faults. Our faults don't even matter to them. Neither do our blessings, if you will. That these animals just are living in the moment and accepting us for exactly who they are, and who we are. And I think also the other thing that animals do for us is that they give us a reason to get up in the morning, to get them out and walk them, to make sure they can get in and out of the house, that they've got water, that they've got food, and that they've got love. And it's such a beautiful co-creative relationship that we have with our animals. I've almost always had a dog in my life. And I was up early this morning and I thought, how many dogs have I had? Turns out I've had 12. Jody, Sam, Pete, Desiree, Moon, Ophelia, Joe, Teddy, Roy, Clara, Dash, and now Ladybird. There's Ladybird right over there. And, you know, I've almost always had a dog, but there have been periods of my life where I didn't have, oh, wait, one other thing. I've had more cats than I can even count. And I don't know that I ever gave them a name because cats don't need a name. The last cat that I had, that Flo and I had together, was called Kitty. Kitty, the perfect name for a cat. Cats are amazing animals. I don't even know what to say about cats, but dogs, I've had dogs, and I have loved dogs, and every dog that I have ever had just had my heart, and every dog that I've ever had has been the dog that I loved the most. And that means, Ladybird, you're the one now. But the dog that I remember the most, the dog that maybe pulled on my heartstrings the most, was a little toy schnauzer. It was white. And a white schnauzer is a very unusual creature. They don't breed schnauzers to be white. They breed them to be that salt and pepper or the black. There's maybe one other color that the AKA recognizes. But white schnauzers were usually euthanized so that that particular gene would not get passed on and somehow pollute the rest of the schnauzer genes. I was at a... Do you remember in Idaho Falls at the mall when there used to be a pet store there? I don't think it's... I haven't been to the mall for years, but I don't think that it's there anymore. There was a little pet store, and I was over there, it was maybe November, and I was over there doing some Christmas shopping, because this is prior to Amazon, and that's what we did. We went to Idaho Falls to do our Christmas shopping. And I was walking past the pet store, and in the window, there was this little white creature. He was about this big. And he had been shaven to so that it would look more like a schnauzer, I guess. You know how they get that funny hairdo thing that the schnauzers get? And its ears had, I found out later that its ears had just been cropped, so there were scabs all over the rims of his ears, and his tail had just been docked, and it was all scabbed over too. It was the most pitiful looking creature that I had ever seen, and I don't know what possessed me, but I ended up taking that little creature home with me. It was November, it was cold out, it was this big. He rode inside my down jacket all the way back to Jackson, shivering the whole way, and then got him out and brought him out and showed the kids, and the kids, of course, all freaked out. And then the fun began. That dog was the most stubborn, untrainable dog that I have ever had. And like I said, I've had 12. And I found out later from a dog trainer that schnauzers are notoriously difficult to train, as are most terriers, by the way. But some of them are trainable. But Roy. Roy was the most hard-headed creature that I've ever been around. And I remember taking him, I thought, oh, okay, so I'm going to take him to obedience school. So we took him to obedience school, worked through that for about a month, and the final day of obedience school, we were all supposed to walk our dogs around in a circle on a leash, and when we stopped, that dog was supposed to heel and sit, and then we'd start, and the dog would start again with us. And the whole time we were walking, or this happened at the fairgrounds, the whole time we were walking around, that dog was trying to bite me. Everybody else's dog were doing mostly what they were supposed to do, but Roy would do nothing but bite me the whole time. When he got a little older, his favorite trick was when it was time for me to go to work in the morning, I would be, you know, keeping him inside the door. I would open the door, and that dog was gone. And even though he was only about this big, I couldn't catch him. So he would go a block, and then he would sit there. And he'd look at me, wag his tail. And then as soon as I got from about here to Gordon, gone again. And so I was usually about an hour late to work on the mornings that Roy escaped. But I loved that dog. He lived to be 12, 13 years old, something like that. He was the most beautiful and maddening creature that I have ever been around. And that's, I think, part of what we love about these animals, too. And your cat, are there any? Yeah, there's a cat. Look at that. I don't mean to leave you cat owners. I don't mean to diss you cat owners or anything, but I mean, there's a cat on a leash there. That's pretty cool. But anyway, I think that's part of why we love these animals so much too, is because there's a certain wildness in them and a certain unpredictability in them that lets us know that we're not really necessarily in charge. Did dogs domesticate people, or did people domesticate dogs? It's a great question. Cats, undomesticatable. And wonderful, right? So anyway, that's my pet story. And I'm just curious, the reason I have this handheld mic today is that, is there anybody out here that's got a pet story that they would like to share with us? Yeah, Benny.
Growing up in Teton Village, at the hostel, we looked out over the Snicker Ranch. My dad would be like inviting people over to sit and look at his property. There's also a family that lived up the hill that had a husky that would roam out into the fields. And one day, he roamed out there for about 2 weeks, then came home to my friend's house. They're like, oh my God, I don't know where he was. And a couple months later, this coyote brings two puppies up to the front of the hostel and puts them in front, and then she goes and sits behind a rock on our front yard. And we're sitting there, and we're like, well, this is odd. I wonder what the coyote... Oh, two puppies right in front of the door. So we bring them in, and she comes up to the front door. We put them back out, and she goes back out to the rock. We named the two puppies Butch and Sundance because it was right after the movie came out. And we had those dogs for a long time. And then one day, Butch was gone. Got run over by a dog on the village road. The dog got run over by a car on the village road. We'll go that way. And then Sundance mysteriously disappeared. Well, about 8 years ago, Dick Longmire calls me up to go paint his house over in Driggs. And I go over, and I'm like, why do you call this the Sundance Ranch? And he goes, well, your dad gave us your dog when...
Somebody else has a dog, a pet story. Pam.
So we got our son Andy this little turtle. His name is Little Chief. And we've had him for 35 years. And we always teased Andy when he was little that we were going to be having Little Chief when, you know, he would be giving it to his kids because they live forever, and we didn't quite know that when we got it for him. So anyway, Andy went off to college, so of course Mom and Dad get stuck with the turtle. We've been taking care of him all this time, and now our son just had a little baby boy 52 days ago, so we're taking Little Chief to San Clemente this December, and now he can be our new grandson Remy's turtle for the next 30 years.
Oh, that's good. Cupcake. Here, I'll come around.
What an exciting day to be around all these people that love animals and all the animals that are in here. For those of you who don't know, I started a nonprofit that was dedicated to saving the lives of homeless animals. It's the Animal Adoption Center in Jackson. And the center, with thousands of volunteers, hundreds and thousands of donors, have saved thousands of lives and spayed and neutered over 20,000 animals. Today I want everybody to think about saying some prayers for the animals that are sitting in shelters, the purebreds, the dogs abandoned when their owners have died, the strays that are never found. And I want to pray for a day that all animals will be safe in our country. No animals will die that are adoptable. And there's just no way I could sit here and not say that. Because even if you bought a dog, you still love dogs. And I understand specific breeds and things like that. But don't forget, you can always volunteer, you can always foster, and you can always donate to your favorite rescue. Because all animals, all breeds do end up in shelters, do end up lost. And I think God's greatest gift to me in my life is having animals. So thanks for coming, and I hope you pray for the homeless animals.
Anybody else want to take a shot at it? Oh, Renee.
Well, our family had a dog, and he had an atrocious appetite. His name was Big Albert. And if you left a sandwich, he would eat it quickly. If you had a bundt cake and you left it on the table, half of it would be gone. One day he brought in a carp, and another day he must have gone grocery shopping. He brought in a loaf of bread.
What about you cat owners? Huh?
Hi, I'm Clay, and Anne let us get a cat last Christmas, which was great because she was never a cat owner, and this cat has actually turned many non-cat likers, including dogs and humans, into cat likers. So we're very thankful to have this accepting cat in our family. And we are litter-free household, which is awesome. She uses the potty. We did not teach her to flush because we didn't want that just to be a plaything.
Okay, we're going to do one more.
My dog Ranger is very energetic, and if anyone in this my household hugs another person, he will try to jump on the person and get in the middle of the cuddle. He will not rest until that is complete, and my dad holds him.
Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for playing along, and thanks for bringing these beautiful animals with you today. We're going to have pet communion next. Dog treats, cat treats, rabbit, hamster, guinea. We don't have any turtle food. If we'd have known, we'd have brought some. But anyway, thank you all for being such a blessing to one another, to the animals that you care for, and to one another. Amen.